CliffCentral.com.
Lebang and I are going to be joined by Yatish Nasi. Here he is. Hey, Yatish.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
How are you doing, man?
Hey. Good, and you?
Awesome. Are you
good,
winding
good.
Down?
Cannot I mean, complain.
I know what the advertising business is like. You guys are always working, and even over the Christmas holidays, I know there are people who keep the lights on at all the ad agencies because this is prime time for selling and all the rest of it. Do you get a bit of a holiday, or are you also working flat out?
You know, this is actually the first year we've decided to close the office on Wednesday. So we're out for about 2 weeks.
Nice.
I think it's just been such a long 2 years. It's been such a long 2 years. Mm. We're all exhausted. So yeah, for the first time in a long time, Grid's decided 15th of December we're out, and we'll see you back in January. You can sell stuff then.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Then you can take a breath, because it's also been a really tough year, not just in advertising, but everywhere. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to a bit of a break. Mm. So, Yatish, let's talk about something this morning, because I was saying to Lebang before you joined us that This Is Us is really not some big kumbaya moment. And I know that for many people, that's kind of what a lot of these sorts of things have tried to achieve. But we have deliberately turned away from just these, you know, hugely positive, let's all hug each other and sit in a drum circle things, because we realize that what This Is Us is holding up a mirror to those things about being South African that make us good, bad, and ugly, and coming to terms with those things. And last week we had a very, very serious and very heavy conversation about gender-based violence, something which is a plague, a sickness in South African society. It's not everybody's favorite topic. I get it. There are lots of people who go, oof, no, count me out of this because it's too much to deal with. This week, I want us to deal with another thing, and it's this time of year where we need to be paying special attention to what people are going through with their mental health. We've discussed mental health in various episodes before this. We discuss it often on my show. We take it very seriously on Cliff Central. But on This Is Us, I want us to direct our attention to the people at SADAG. That's the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. And we've spoken to our guest many times on Cliff Central. She is absolutely the right person to talk to about what's coming up in the holiday season, what people need to look out for, how you can look after yourself, how you can look after those closest to you. Her name, of course, is Cassie Chambers. And Cassie, it's so good to see you again. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting us to talk about this important topic. So thank you.
Well, every Tuesday, Cassie, to just bring you in, Yatish and Lebang and I talk about the real and positive conversations that are solutions-based that we're trying to thread through in our idea of what South Africa is and what we stand for, what we are. And we want to make South Africa a better place. But I think we've got to take stock of our mental health, and there's no one better place to help us do that than you. How would you rate South Africa's overall mental health? Before we get into the specifics of December, before we get into the specific problems of depression, anxiety, and all the other kinds of maladies that are afflicting us, how would you rate South Africa in the world when it comes to mental health?
I think if we had to rate right now where we're sitting and what we're seeing at SADAG on our helplines and just what people are dealing with, I think in the last 20 plus months, mental health has really been on the forefront, and so many more people can relate to what they thought only happens to other people and is really stigmatized, and what they've seen in the movies. So many more people are now dealing with it themselves. So I think it's definitely changed how South Africa looks at mental health, because we can all relate to feeling at some point stressed, depressed, anxious. If we had to compare where we are versus other countries, so we knew that we had a mental health crisis before COVID. COVID has just made it so much more worse because we don't have a good enough mental health system, especially community mental health system, to help the many, many South Africans that need mental health care. I think now it's really on the spotlight. More people are talking about it, but it also means that more people need help. And when we had to compare to other countries and around the world, this is a global issue. Mental health needs to be better. We need to have better services. It needs to be prioritized. So we're not quite there yet, but things are happening. They're bubbling. People are talking about it more. So the stigma has definitely broken. But as South Africa, we need to do better. Our governments need to do better. Our investments into mental health need to do better. And not because we want to have a shining gold star mental health system. It's because we need it. Because so many people every single day are needing mental health resources and support and care and just kindness. And that's what we're missing, especially in community level. I mean, you mentioned earlier gender-based violence. Mm. There's such a big umbrella with mental health, chronic illnesses. There's so much that we can do to improve mental health, and we need it now more than ever, especially in South Africa.
Well, I know that Lebang and Yatish have got a bunch of questions for you, but let's just talk about the year, because we thought COVID would be a year. It's now 2 years. For many people, that's brought huge challenges. Have you guys seen an increase in the number of calls, the number of cases you're having to deal with, the amount of advice you're dispensing, sometimes the referrals that you're passing on to people? What are some of the main issues that people are struggling with?
So we've definitely seen an increase, and it's still growing. You know, to put in perspective and with some figures, before COVID, we were getting about 600 calls per day, and that's really busy. And then from COVID, the first day of our COVID lockdown, we saw our call volumes double overnight, and they've been growing ever since. So we've seen a steady increase, and almost with every spike, we're seeing more people reach out for help. So at the moment, we're receiving over 2,500 calls per day, and that excludes the hundreds and thousands of SMSs, emails, WhatsApps, and social media. So the demand for our services has really, really grown and increased so much over the last 20 plus months. A lot of people are really struggling. You know, as you mentioned, this year has been so, so difficult. What we thought COVID was going to be for 6 weeks, you know, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months, turned into nearly 2 years. People are especially feeling quite burnt out, emotionally exhausted. They're dealing with more grief, so loss of loved ones and multiple loss of loved ones. Financial issues is a really big thing, especially going into the December period, employment. There's such a combination of issues that people are dealing with. It's never just one thing. And I think that's what makes them feel so overwhelmed. I think also what's really interesting, I mean, this is just the calls that we're seeing at SADAG, you know, 2,500 per day. That problem on the ground is that there's so many more people that don't know about SADAG or don't reach out or don't know who to speak to. Sure. So I'm encouraged that we're seeing more people reach out. More people are asking for help. They're speaking to someone. But there's still so many people who don't know what to do and don't know who to speak to. So it is definitely a huge issue. Going into the festive season, you know, we're sort of kind of prepping, you know, more volunteers, more training, more support. We have to keep our services open 24/7 because mental health doesn't have operating hours. You know, it doesn't stop because it's Christmas and it's the holidays, so everyone should be happy. Actually, now it's really difficult for a lot of people. So yes, we're seeing a lot more people reaching out for help, and that's both a good thing, but it also gives us insight to how many South Africans are struggling right now.
In fact, that was going to be my first question, to be honest to you guys. I think, you know, you're talking to us about how South Africa is doing, and my first question, I guess, would be how's SADAG coping with the influx, and especially going into the festive season? I think that's the whole point of this is us, you know, we're you know, just trying really hard to bring South Africans in who are dealing with real issues that we all face on the ground every day, just to raise awareness and get people to hopefully contribute in some small or meaningful way. So, I mean, on your end, what's it like been trying to ramp up and trying to cope with that influx? I mean, going from 600 to 2,000 overnight, how do you sustain it?
Yeah, such a good question. And it's something that we kind of have to navigate every day because it changes. You know, we went from running SADAG in a brick and mortar office for 27 years to having 3 days to turn all of our services fully online. I mean, talk about a digital disruption. Sure. And thank goodness, because I think it's changed how we work, right? You know, so many months afterwards, it's become our new norm. But we've had to move our whole system, our whole office to work remotely. And we couldn't have done it without the most amazing volunteer counselors. I mean, these are people that during COVID, when everyone else was baking bread and kind of just dealing with and navigating through the COVID stresses, these were people, and over 250 people that donated their time every week to answer our helplines. And thank goodness they could, because we really needed to. We had to do more counselor training and train up more volunteers. We've just trained up another 100 volunteers over the last 3 months to gear up for going into December. And especially because we're seeing our calls increase every single month, every single day, we're really having to make sure we have more counselors, make sure that our referrals and resources are updated. So it's been a huge, huge learning curve. It's something we navigate every day and dealing with the tech world. And we're learning. And I think, again, this brings in that human compassion, is that we couldn't have done this without our volunteers. And we have some amazing companies that have reached out and said, let us help you with this tech. We'll, you know, teach you how to use it. We can do counseling and we can help people who have a mental health issue, but the tech world is totally new to us. So we're dealing with a lot of challenges. Also, with increased calls means our telephone bill is also really high. So we've had to also just really use a lot of our resources to look for funding to pay our telephone costs, because we can't afford not to have the lines 24/7 and fully operational, because there's so many people that reach out. So we're learning a lot as we go through, probably still in shock. but it's something that again, with the group of people that we get to work with, it really helps us to keep driving. And I think, you know, we're also very lucky, is that the people that motivate us are the callers. You know, when you speak to someone on the phone who feels completely helpless, and you can hear it in their voice, and you're their last chance, those are the people that we have to work really hard to get these systems in place and do whatever we can to make sure that that person has someone that they can speak to. So those are the things that kind of motivate us, and motivate our volunteers to come back every single week. So you mentioned to your community, how do you help, you know, besides having a really fat checkbook, but you can also volunteer. You can come and volunteer in the call center. It's real people who've had real problems who just really want to help. So there's always ideas.
Cassie, what if there's like somebody like in your life who you can identify that they're definitely struggling with their mental health, but they are not at the stage where they're ready to admit that, and they're probably like in denial, and the idea of even giving you guys a call is like the last thing on their mind. On a practical level, you know, how do you assist that person, you know, without, I guess, scaring them away? Because as we've mentioned, quite obviously, this is a difficult time for all of us. There's not a person that's 100% doing okay. So, like, from your experience, what would you say is the best way to handle this and help that person without scaring them off?
And that's such a good question. And I think so many people can relate, is that no one teaches us how to talk about mental health. You know, how do you talk to your friend? We're scared about talking about it. Imagine the person who's struggling, who doesn't want to be identified as the person with the mental health issue because of what society and stigma tells us, right? That you're crazy, that you're dangerous, that you're less than. Yeah. So having that conversation can be hard. But it can also be so, so important. So the suggestions we have is have the conversation, start it off. You don't have to be a mental health professional. You can just start off to say, and it's really helpful to use I language. I'm really worried about you. I've noticed that, you know, you're really struggling. Do you want to talk about it? Or can I help you today? Or, you know, one of the things that we as South Africans are so good at is we do our automatic greeting, right? Hello, how are you? I'm fine. And we carry on. But changing and spicing it up to say, how are you really doing today? And all of a sudden, people have to really think about a response. So that could be your first introduction to talking about it, saying, I'm really worried about you. I really want to help you. Can we just talk? Obviously, sometimes that can be quite overwhelming, right, for the other person, because now they're saying, well, other people can pick it up. I don't want them to think of me any less. So they might be resistant that first conversation. Don't give up. That person already feels so alone and so isolated and so misunderstood. Having you go back for a second chance to say, I'm just checking in. Are you doing okay? Do you want to talk to someone? If you're not comfortable talking to me, just talk to someone. Here's a website. Here's SADAG. Speak to someone. I'm really worried about you. as a friend and a loved one, you know, learning as much as you can about depression, self-help tips, resources can be really helpful. So when your friend is ready to talk, you have all of these tools available to you. So I think that would be the first introduction. Sometimes just listening and being there, saying, let's go for coffee. Let's talk about it. Let's have a chat. Checking in more regularly. I'd also say, you know, just don't give up. That person already feels like the world has given up on them. Don't be that person that gives up. The fact that you're thinking about it is already a positive sign that you're wanting to help them.
Yeah, this is really helpful information, and obviously you guys can dispense information, but just tell us, for those people who don't really know what SADAG does, you also have professionals who are able to dispense this kind of advice and who can give the sort of advice that really is make or break for some people. How do you deal, for example, with a suicide? And we know lots of people are alone over this time. This is peak suicide season, if there is such a thing. It's a horrible thing to say. But what do you do when you guys get a call like that from someone who's, you know, at that kind of desperate level?
And I think with running a suicide crisis helpline, we're definitely getting more suicide calls. One in every five of our calls are suicide related. So our counselors are trained in crisis intervention. We normally just do an assessment where we're talking to them as a person to find out what happened, what they're thinking, if they've got plans to kill themselves. And sometimes asking those direct questions can seem insensitive, but it's so important to ask directly and get that information and to know how to support that person. Sometimes a call like that could take 20 minutes to get the person the emergency help that they need, or it could take 2 to 3 hours. Each phone call is unique. There's, you know, every person's story and problems is unique. There's no textbook answer. But it's really just having to help and assess, you know, kind of where they are on the risk. Have they already attempted? Have they already taken anything? Do we have to get them to a mental health professional, or do we have to get them to a hospital? Can we get them to a hospital? So our counselors have the support system, and this is where our referral guide comes in really handy, is that we'll phone ahead and phone hospitals and check if they have beds and who's on duty at emergency to receive the patient, or getting police station to come and help and assist and transport someone through who needs crisis care. So those kinds of calls happen every single day, where people call us who are totally desperate and really want to reach out for help. And again, those are people that are kind of just that last chance, right, phoning us to say, I'm feeling like this, I need help, what can you do? There's still so many people, and this is where we deal with loved ones of people who are suicidal. And as you mentioned, Gareth, this time of the year is really difficult. And we have a lot of people who say, but I didn't know my loved one was suicidal. I didn't see the signs. Often they're the ones also calling us to say, what do I do? How do I get help? Where do I go? So our counselors help them step by step. You know, this is a minefield. No one teaches us how to deal with this. And we always think it happens to other people until it happens to you or your family or to your loved ones. And when we look at South Africa, there are estimated 23 suicides every single day in the country. And men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than women. And that's from the WHO. So these are important things for people to be aware of, to know that it can happen and it can happen to their loved ones. When we look at the fact that 1 in 3 South Africans, and if you just look at our screen, you know, there's 4 of us, 1 in 3 South Africans will or do have a mental health issue at some point in their lifetime. So these things happen to our families, to our households. And it's just important to be aware and to be okay to have these conversations and know that there's help like the suicide helpline.
In terms of even just listening to how complex, but how I can imagine how skilled these counselors need to be to manage these conversations. Just the thought of volunteering makes me nervous. And what do you, you know, how do you sort of train a volunteer? What do they need to go through in order to sort of get the skills to have these sort of difficult conversations? And what do you need to go in with? What do you need to have going in?
So we do have a lot of our counselors who are studying psychology or studying social work, but majority of our counselors are people with life experience who've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, who knows what it feels like to have depression or knows what it feels like to have a panic attack. And we train them really, really closely. So you don't have to have a psychology degree to be a volunteer at SADAG, because I think that's the human element, is that we want humans, caring humans, to be on the other side of the phone, just to be there. I'm here. I want to help you. Let's talk. So we have counselors from every age group, every background, every race, gender, religious background, just really to give whoever calls in has someone that they can relate to or speak to. Our counselors do go through an interview process, a screening process, because as you mentioned, it can be really heavy. So we want to make sure that it doesn't trigger you, that you are supported as well. But then we do a really extensive training. At the moment with COVID, it's been an online training. So we're doing lots of Zooms, lots of webinars, lots of recordings and ways to train up the volunteers. And then it's also just training with a counselor and various counselors to listen into calls, to learn how to be a counselor, what to say, what to do. But you're never having to do it alone. There's always this team of people. So if you are dealing with a serious case, say you're speaking to someone who is suicidal, we have other counselors who then step in and phone hospitals and phone loved ones. And so you're never having to fix someone's problem by yourself. I've been at SADAG for over 15 years, and you know, we've learned so much in supporting people and helping them, but coming with just that human heart to say, I'm here, I want to listen, I want to help you, is sometimes so much more valuable than having a degree or studying for years.
Yeah.
So we try to kind of meet in the middle there.
So Cassie, just on some plain logistical operational things, you're not closing at all over the holidays, right? You're open pretty much the whole way through. How do people get hold of SADAG?
So yes, we're open the whole festive season, even Christmas Day, New Year's Eve. We're open 24/7. We're not closing at all. Our offices have closed, but our counselors are working remotely. Mm-hmm. You can call on our toll-free helpline, which means that it's free from a landline or a cell phone. Our suicide helpline is 0800-567-567. Mm-hmm. You can also find all of our details for all of our helplines. We have an SMS line, a WhatsApp line, an email form. You can just go to the website at sadag.org, SADAG.org, or even follow us on social media. You know, we're going to post daily tips and tools to help people over the festive season, on to deal with all the Christmas stress and end of year burnout. And you can find us on @thesadag, and you can find all our social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Fantastic. Yeah, Tish, Lebang, any other things that you want to ask Cassie while we've got her? I know she's very busy and you don't stop during the holidays either.
I guess my question is a little bit loaded, so I'll try to unload it. You know, when I think about mental health issues within, you know, the Black community, and these are probably things that you guys get faced with quite often. You know, there's this ongoing stigma about mental illness not necessarily being a real disease, and sort of just being something from the Western world. And the sad truth is that a lot of people still believe that mental illness is not necessarily real, and that, you know, there isn't like a, you know, you can't just get depression pills and pop them and then you'll be fine. Like, there's a lot of, I guess, information around it that I could say, like, you know, a lot of the, maybe the older generation of our mothers and our fathers and that generation, there's a gap and a disconnect between what mental illness really is. So how do you guys tackle those situations? I mean, I can imagine getting a call from, you know, a young guy or girl whose parents and family don't believe that this is a real thing and that depression is real. How do you guys particularly tackle those kinds of matters? Because I can almost tell you for free, I'm sure that there's been a lot of those cases.
Absolutely. And that's something where we're finding that generational gap. you know, one side, the old generation where depression is not real. There's no Zulu word for depression. Therefore, it's, you know, one word that describes what it is. And therefore, it doesn't happen to us. It doesn't happen to our people. It doesn't happen to our family. And there's a lot of shame in talking about it. So people don't talk about it. And then young people are reaching out who are feeling overwhelmed and are told not to take treatment or not to go to therapy. It's not supported by the family, and yet they really need it. So we're trying to have these important conversations. And again, you bring up such an important point, and this should be, you know, a talk all in its own about the Western view of how we see mental health and the traditional African view of how we see mental health. And how do we bring those two worlds together to help the person and not necessarily having these two different theories? So talking about it as much as we can on all kinds of different platforms with all kinds of different people to talk about it. And it takes having these young champions who say, I have depression, or this is what I've been through, and breaking the stigma around it. But it's happening every single day. And I think for the person who's listening, who's been told by the family that this is not real, that you just need to think positively, or, you know, just get over it. For that person, it's get help, get support wherever you can. If it's not even just with your family, but get the support that you can, and we'll worry about breaking the stigma afterwards. We forget that by not talking about it, by having the stigma, it prevents people from getting help. It makes their depression or anxiety worse, and it could even lead to suicide. But these are important conversations that I think by talking about it, we're telling people how to talk about it, what language to use, and slowly we can start chipping away at that generational gap. One big thing is that mental health doesn't discriminate. It affects every age, every race, every gender. And the more that we can talk about it and have these different people in our communities who are saying, hey, I have depression, or I have bipolar, we're making it a bit more okay to talk about. So we just need to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And setting up support groups in these pockets around South Africa. We have over 160 support groups. There is help. And I don't want to discourage anyone who feels like their family is not supporting them. There is other help, and that's most important.
Well, listen, you guys do a fantastic job. We're very, very lucky that there are organizations like SADAG, and there are few and far between that go to the lengths that you go to make yourselves available to those people who desperately need you. From Lebang and Yatish and I and everybody else, just thank you so much for the great work that you do at SADAG. And please let us know if we can help you ever, because what goes around comes around. We need you, but you probably need us sometimes too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the support. And thanks for talking about mental health. It's already helped. If there's one person that's listened and is now encouraged to reach out for help, then that's fantastic. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers, Cassie. There's Cassie from SADAG. She's been for a long, long time. She knows what she's talking about. Ricey Beck says here, this is quite interesting. She says, it is pain that humans hide. People don't hide happiness. So you don't have to deal with it on your own. You heard what Cassie said. You can pick up the phone and there's someone there to talk to. All right. Yatish, any final thoughts? Lebang, any final thoughts on this matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we were discussing it the other day, actually, Lebang, myself, Irina, a bunch of us, in terms of, you know, what sort of the conversations we've had this year already. And I think hopefully by next week, Gareth, we're going to have a lot of these guys that we've been speaking to, the likes of Cassie, some of the other guests that we've had over the last few months, and just collect all their information onto our website. So, you know, we've got a sort of a great group of organizations people can support, particularly over the festive season. You know, we're all thinking about presents under our tree. It would just be great to, there's so many great South Africans to support. And that was always the purpose of the platform, right? To give people who maybe don't have the opportunity to share their stories a better platform to do so. And to give other South Africans a platform to find, you know, great South Africans to support. So yeah, hopefully in about a week or so, we'll have that up and we can share that on the show next week and people can go in and support the right kind of people worth supporting.
Excellent, excellent stuff. All right. Thanks, everybody. Lebang, anything from you before we close up?
I guess, you know, just as we get into this festive season, I really just would encourage everybody to protect their peace, because like that cost, man, it's just, you know, it's so high. And we downplay it sometimes. We downplay how we feel around certain people, whether it's family or friends or whatever. I just would encourage you right now, if you're listening, if you're really feeling like, you know, you can't deal with any of it, just give SADC a call. There's literally somebody that's willing to hear you out. And that could be the call that makes everything different for you.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, guys. We will see you on This Is Us next Tuesday for, I think, the last one of the year. And the rest of this week, we've got shows. We've got on tomorrow morning, we've got lots of cool stuff for you. Make sure you're up at 6 o'clock bright and early to join us. And start getting ready for those holidays. They're just around the corner. Cheers, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Cheers. CliffCentral.com.